Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and praise God for His goodness. Praise God and thank the Lord for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. What would we do without them? Amen. Where would you be if it wasn't for the Lord? We used to sing a chorus like that years ago. Or where would you go? Where would you go without Him? Amen. Well, we've been looking the last few days at a chapter in the Song of Solomon, the fifth chapter, and we're looking at a description of our beloved, the bridegroom, as the bride is describing him. And she uses a multitude of beautiful adjectives, descriptive terms to describe his character. And sometimes we might miss the depth of it as we just casually read. And so we've been taking the time to just look at those individual verses as she goes through to describe her beloved. And we'd like to start today at verse 13, and she says, "His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh, a fragrant myrrh," which is a very precious spice. And what does this signify to us? Well, the cheeks are compared to bed of spices, as sweet flowers, lovely, fragrant, attractive. And the fact of the matter is, the more we get to know Jesus, the more we love Him. There's everything about our Lord draws and fascinates us. Those who really have a vision of the Lord are overwhelmed and overcome by His beauty, by His amazing character, His amazing love, that He would desire to come down and become one of us so that we can be with Him forever and ever. And the only reason He's left us, well, twofold. He said it was necessary for Him to leave. Remember, after His resurrection, He was seen for a number of days by hundreds of people, that He in fact did resurrect from the grave, but He said it was needful for Him to leave so the Holy Spirit could be sent. But also, He's busy. He's preparing a place for us. And so the Lord and all of heaven is busily preparing for that moment in time that only the Father knows, where the Father will say, "All right, son, go get your bride." Praise God. We are looking for this glorious rapture of the church where we will be forever with our beloved. And so everything about Him is fascinating. In the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And even the children, we can see as we read the Gospels, were drawn to Him. They were fascinated with Jesus. In fact, He rebuked His disciples and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. He is fairer than the children of men." And let's look at, I'm going to take a moment to turn now to Psalm 45 and 2, which says, speaking of the Lord, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Never man spake as this man," the scriptures tell us. And so also in that same psalm, we see in verses 7 and 8, "Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad." Praise God. Going back now to the Song of Solomon, that description of his lips are as lilies. His lips are similar to lilies. And of course, a lily is a symbol of beauty and purity and humility. Remember, Jesus said Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these when he was talking about the beauty of the lily, that the Lord clothes the natural world, and that we, as his children, should not be anxious for the things that pertain to our lives. And that particular word lily, that Hebrew word denotes some plant of the lily species. It's not specifically designated, but generally they're brilliant in color. They're purple or scarlet, as in Matthew, that color, Matthew 6:28, it is compared to the gorgeous royal robes of Solomon. Praise God. And then it talks about his lips as lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Well, there were five specific uses of myrrh in Scripture. I won't take the time to read it or to turn, but it's found in Exodus 30:23, and it was used for the sacred anointing oil. And also, we know from the book of Esther, the second chapter, verse 12, that it was used in ceremonial cleansing. It was one of the substances used for the purification of women. And then we know in Proverbs, it was also a perfume, sweet smelling, in Proverbs, the seventh chapter, verse 17. And of course, this is referring to a harlot. It talks, she's enticing a young man, and she says, "Come, I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon," sweet smelling spices. And of course, we also know the fourth purpose of myrrh in Scripture was used for embalming. It has a preservative effect. And we see in the Gospel of John, where when after the Lord had died, we see that in that 19th chapter, when he was already placed in the tomb, that his body was wrapped in a linen, but also it had spices of myrrh and aloes. We see in John 19, verse 39, "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight." And then it says, "Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." So this was used in the burial of Jesus for embalming, if you will, in terms of embalming in that ancient way of doing it. And then we know also it has medicinal purposes. It has a healing effect and also an anesthetic effect. It diminishes the sense of suffering. We know that that was probably placed in that cup that was offered to Jesus when he was on the cross, but he refused it because he would not, and that was done as somewhat of an act of compassion to those who were being crucified to help reduce that sense of pain, the physical torment and torture they were going through. But we know also that our God, because he is so sweet and precious, that one of his very ministries is to minister, to heal the broken in heart, to bind up their wounds. We see that in Psalm 147 and verse 3. Now let's go on to resume our look at that fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, and it talks about the Lord's hands. And as I say, as we read this, sometimes we read it quickly and it all sounds very lovely and beautiful, but we don't think of the deeper significance of those descriptive terms for the Lord. And again, this is the bride describing her beloved, her bridegroom. And she says in verse 14, "His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires." Now, his hands, it speaks of them being compared to gold rings set with beryl, a precious stone. And So we see gold rings, you know, a ring, there is no end to a ring. There's no end to a circle, if you will. It's continuous, if you will. There's no beginning or ending in terms of the actual physical, visual appearance of it. And so that speaks to us that the Lord's hands, his manifold works, are precious and endless. There's no way that we could possibly limit them or number them. Psalm 104 and 24 says, O Lord, how manifold, how many, if you will, are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So he created the world and the fullness thereof. He created man in his image. But also we see on his precious hands that he has an eternal reminder of us. You and I are written on the very palms of his hand. We see he will never remove or no longer retain the marks of his crucifixion in his hands and feet. Isaiah 49 and 16 says, I have graven thee upon the palms of mine hands. And as we see Jesus was hanging on the cross, Psalm 31 and 5 says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise God. So, beloved, he which began that good work in you will be faithful to complete it. You are in his hands. Praise God. And what a better place to be. There is none. Amen. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown by, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. The announcer in a moment is going to give our contact information. I invite you to write, just share those prayer needs with me. And also, it's just a blessing to hear from new people. Encourage my heart. It's always a blessing when I hear from new members of my radio family. UCM Partners, God bless you. I love you. Thank you for your prayer support as well as your financial help. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,